And we are back. This is exciting. I've been really looking forward to this over the last few weeks. It's been an amazing year for our guest, Ed Jurdy, Band of Heathens. And, you know, there's been the Grand Ole Opry. There's been a tour to promote Simpler Things. And, you know, their new album, as well as a gold record, Grammy award, you know, potential nominee. And tomorrow, Simpler Things is coming out. It's a little bit of a stripped down version of Simple Things. Ed, I'd love to hear a little bit about what we're going to see with Simpler Things.
Yeah. You left out a top 10 too, Gibby. We had a top 10.
Oh, and a top 10.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, Simpler Things. Well, you know, like when Gordy and I write songs for records, we make demos, you know, little home demos and stuff like that. But we've never really like properly recorded a record in an acoustic format, really. And, you know, acoustic music is such a big part of what we do, you know, and we just thought it would be fun. And we really thought this was a great batch of songs. We thought it would be fun to kind of be able to present songs in a just a more stripped down, kind of down home way, you know, almost like
unplugged.
Kind of in the same order as Simple Things, just he and I, ours, a couple microphones, and we really loved it and thought it sounded great. But like always, when you're in the studio and you have the ability to tweeten things, we thought it would be cool to include the other band in a few spots, you know. So Trevor Nealon plays keys on a couple things, and Nick Jay, our player, who's a great singer, he sings some harmonies on a couple things, and Clint Simmons, our drummer, put some percussion on some stuff, and really sparse though. And then we had our friend, this guy, Noah Jeffers, he's an incredible, just on anything stringed instrument, played some fiddle and mandolin, just to kind of make it, you know, a little bit interesting and give it diversity from song to song. But it's recorded very live and very raw. And we love it. I think it just came out and it's just kind of a different, you know, a different perspective that we're presenting to our fans and listeners might kind of think of the band as a certain thing, but you know, there are all these different facets that we have and that we like to present to people. So that was just an opportunity to, that's a long answer.
Wow. No, you're good. I was thinking about this too, as I was listening through, you know, some of the catalog, and you know, what really stands out, right, is, you know, you're taking lead on some of the vocals and Gordy's taking lead on some of the other vocals on different songs. I don't know if there's any internal battle who wants which song, et cetera, but really like the harmonies, as I listen to the discography and, you know, you're going through the timeline, like it seems like it's tighter, it's richer. Did you notice that over this past year? That the harmonies are, you know, really reaching a different level than they had previously, not to, you know, detract from previous work.
I think for the band, for sure. I mean, I think the band as it is right now, it's the best, the band sounded live, and it's the best batch of singers that collectively in the band. So as far as that goes, and I know the longer Gordy and I have performed together and written together, partners in music and in life generally, the bonds have gotten tighter, you know, and that's reflective in the way we sing and play together too.
I mean, like anything, more experience with a skill or just with somebody is obviously going to help you out a ton in terms of just the flow. Like I'm imagining you guys are at a point now where, and we talked about this last time a little bit, you're probably at a point where you're starting to, like, I don't want to say finish each other's sentences, but you're sort of on the same wavelength. Bands like traditional jam bands, right, like the Dead or Fish or any of these bands, tend to just like roam around. I know that's not you guys, but do you kind of feel like there's a little bit of that now, like to your point, like that's starting to get a little bit more pronounced as you guys write and then sing and then compose?
Well, I think to your point, anything that you listen to, or I mean really life, like that has a point of connectivity with the listener, a fan or a follower, whatever that is. Like, at some point, concept that I've heard referred to as the mastermind principle. And it's just a thing when, like, you know, the combination of the parts is bigger than the individual pieces, right? It's like,
yep.
So yeah, we can finish each other's sentences, but even more than that, I think we're just on the same wavelength in terms of like what we're trying to convey and how to do it. You know, we don't really have to talk a lot about that. You know, we might talk about specific stuff, but the 10,000 foot view of stuff is pretty cool the time for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I was curious, I listed off a ton of the accomplishments since we last spoke, probably in February. Was there a singular moment that, you know, either for you or for the band was like, holy cow, not that you haven't been extremely successful, right? Hurricane had probably 50 million streams before we spoke before. And sure. And you guys were a well-known band, but it seems like it's ratcheted up another level. Are there any specific moments that have happened this year that, you know, you really have taken a step back?
Yeah. I mean, I like the Grand Ole Opry, I think was a great thing for us, you know, and just, I think we'd all had a little bit of some of us, I would say varying levels of awareness of what, you know, the mm-hmm. impact of that show and kind of its importance, but, getting to be there and participate in it and kind of being a part of that family and the history and lineage of what that show has meant to so many people. That was definitely a milestone. And it, you know, when things like that come about, you recognize that, you know, like it's just kind of all the work that you've done leading up to that point.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of have a moment like that to celebrate it. It's nice to just be able to take a moment and enjoy that for sure.
And as a follow-up to that too, right? Like you guys have been grinding. We talked about this as we were jumping on backstage and you've been doing that for years too. And you've been promoting. Is there a sense of like, what's next? How do we keep this momentum going? Or is it more like, let's just enjoy this moment? Like, how do you separate those two things, or is it you can do both at the same time?
You can do both. They're not mutually exclusive. I mean, the moments where you're sitting back and patting yourself on the back and enjoying it, they're pretty quick. You know what I mean? I think because ultimately, for me at least, I've recognized that, you know, when like the Grand Ole Opry is great and these things come about, where you know, like we had a number one Americana record and the record did great, you know, and people were listening to it and saying nice things about it. And that's all very, it's flattering and it's nice to hear. It's sort of like a validation of your work. But the point to me ultimately is like the validation of your work is that you get to do more of the work, right? Like for me and getting into this, all I ever wanted to do was to be able to play music, you know? And obviously as time has gone on, that concept has become much more finely tuned. But in the end, that really still is the thing. Like we get to make records and go out and play shows and people will support that with their hard earned money is that's really all the reward you should need if this is what you really want to be doing. And, you know, again, like we didn't get into this to be famous. It was about the people that I admired that I had a lot of respect for were musicians. That was what brought them to my attention. You know, the fact that they were really good at it oftentimes was why they became famous or why people knew who they were, you know? So
I think one of the things that fascinates me too about artists, musicians, et cetera, is, you know, the progression there doesn't seem to be linear. It really, like you, and we've talked about this, you know, it can be stops and starts, ups and downs, like you catch a break, you don't catch a break. I think the really cool thing that I've noticed just in following you all and then watching and talking to you is, you know, you just said the real joy in this is that you get to keep doing it, which I really like, because that's your path. Like, it doesn't even really matter what's too far down that road. You just know that you're in the moment and you're doing what you like to be doing, which is really cool. So I respect that. I have a random question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Health and wellness is a big part of your routine based off of, you know, our conversations and things I've seen. Yeah. Everybody's into cold plunges and saunas. And I desperately want to find a place in my house somewhere for a sauna because I love those things. Sure. I know you kind of described it as when you're in there, obviously it's physically detoxing, but it's a good way to have a complete mental flush. Do you mm-hmm. find yourself beginning to write or like the beginnings or the starting point of what you're creating? Do you have any of that happening in there, maybe sure. more so than anywhere else, or just kind of the same?
I don't think more so. I think what I realized with all of that is those things come about in completely random circumstances. But I will say the one thing that seems to prompt that more than anything for me is walking. And especially if I'm not like listening to a podcast or something like that, where it's, I can listen to music and have song ideas, but when I'm listening to other people talk, which I really enjoy, and I do quite a bit, that seems to kind of like flush song ideas out. Although with the once exception of someone will say something in a podcast, or I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks lately where there's a phrase or a couplet of words, and it's just, and all of a sudden it's just like, whoa, okay, that's a cool idea. And then it just kind of, it can kind of spin out from that, you know. But to your point, anywhere where you're sort of, your brain's at a very low level of function, not trying to do high cognitive processing or anything like that, when it's in a relaxed state, that's when ideas start to percolate. That's when things kind of fly in there, and you just have to be, you have to be tuned in enough to catch them, which is why I'm saying, like, when I'm listening to podcasts and stuff, oftentimes the noise of people talking will drown that out, you know?
That's interesting. Cause you said, like, I would think, I don't know, maybe it's just me, I'm not a musician, listening to other people's music would scare, I know you have to lean on it for a little inspiration, but it would scare me. Cause I'd be like, am I just recreating what somebody else already did? Is this the same? Right. So that's funny to hear that. That's cool. That's a really good mindset.
But that's a good point that you're making. I mean, and I heard an interview with David Lee Roth, the singer of Van Halen, a long time ago, where he said, like, you know, you find your sound by failing to imitate the people that you admire, right? So, mm-hmm. which made a lot of sense to me. I'd never really, like, I understood that on an intellectual level, but that, like, really made it click on a visceral level. And so to your point, it doesn't really scare me, because I can listen to something now and on an intellectual level, know what it is that's inspiring me, or what I want to pull from that, and then put that into my own thing. So it really, like, that made me go in a certain direction. But once I decided to go in that direction, that's, you know, I left that train at the station, for lack of a better metaphor.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of permutations. That's cool.
So I'm curious, Ed, you know, and I was doing a little bit of extra research, and I didn't realize you guys were independent, right? You're an independent band. And you know, and it makes perfect sense, right? That's been a big part of you guys owning the records and owning the music and everything. And I'm sure there have been, you know, labels that have been knocking at times too. Have there been challenges there, or is that something that you have always, you know, put your, you know, flag in the ground and said, this is what we're doing. We're independent. And we want to own our music.
Yeah, well, I think it initially started out of a place of necessity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a desire to want to do things our own way. And, you know, funnily enough, a lot of the things that we did just out of happenstance and out of just that seeming like our best option at the time have kind of become like much more standard operating procedures in the music business. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think for us, though, the idea of being independent was appealing because, you know, it never involved taking money from someone and then having to make a decision based on what you owed them or what, you know, how they wanted to imprint on what you wanted to do. Not like, with that said, that doesn't mean we don't have advisors and people in our, you know, sure, our manager and booking agent. You know, we have associations and affiliations and relationships with a lot of people.
You're not obligated.
It's all in the service of what we want to do. No, we're not really, like, we don't really work for anybody, you know, which to me, again, like, really at the heart of rock and roll and the music I grew up with, that was the independent spirit and the rebellious nature of it. The sort of anti-establishment nature of it was very appealing to me. And I mean, I obviously know that paradigm shifted tremendously over the years. Music means a whole different thing in society than it meant at one point in time. But for us, I think that's still really important to be able to maintain that a level of autonomy.
I like that.
So a couple questions in around, you know, what's coming up next. You know, I know you've got the tour continuing on the West Coast. And it looks like there's a little cruise tour as well in the new year. So do you mind filling us in a little bit what's coming up for Band of Heathens?
Well, our Januaries have become pretty cool now, and they're pretty, the last 4 or 5 years have been pretty set in stone. And before that, the thing you referred to, the cruise, it's this called the Sandy Beaches Cruise, which was started by Delbert McClinton, like maybe 35 years ago. He was like one of the first musicians to come up with this idea of doing a music cruise. And we've been on that maybe like 10 years now or something. That's really fun. A lot of great bands on that, like the Mavericks and, you know, Marsha Ball and all sorts of great people. But then the other thing we've done recurring is there's a festival in Steamboat, Colorado called the Music Fest, which is the first week of January. We've been doing that a number of years. And then there's a festival in Key West called Mile Zero Festival, which we've done the last handful of years as well too. So January is kind of our, go on vacation with the heathens month. And then from there, we'll be on the road a bunch next year and working on some new music. You know, it's always the same. It's just kind of the degrees of things vary. You know, this year we'll write and record a new record, which will probably come out in 2025, which will be the 20th anniversary of the band, which is unbelievable.
That's pretty cool.
About that, you know, so, probably a little more recording than touring this year, in 2024, just cause you know, 23 was such a busy year touring and promoting Simple Things that, you know, it's just sort of just like a bit of a natural breather, which, you know, in our world, that means like maybe we'll do like 15 or 20% less gigs. So this year we did 100, maybe we'll do like 70 this year or something like that. So
in some of these, whether it's the festivals or the cruises or just in general, traveling around, are there new bands that you've seen this year or bands that you didn't know about that you were really excited about hearing?
Yeah, I mean, we had a few open for us on our last tour, you know. I mean, I've heard of some of them, but just getting to do shows with, you know, with the Watson Twins and with Taylor Ray and Alex Taylor, the three openers we had out on the West Coast in November was very cool, you know. I think in terms of other new music finds for me this year, and these aren't really new artists, but, you know, Sierra Farrell, I've become a really big fan of her music. She's really fantastic. Sarah Jarosz has also become a real favorite of mine this year, and Brent Cobb, this great songwriter from Georgia. You know, there's so much great music coming out all the time. I think my struggle, which is the same as most other people, is having a filter device. You know what I mean? Right. I mean, every week Spotify spits like 300 songs at me, and it's just like, I got my Spotify rap thing, and I was like, really? That was the stuff I listened to the most. And I told someone the other day, like, it's kind of unfair for musicians because it's like a bullshit metric. Like on Spotify Wrapped, all of like my top songs was the following things. Like we collaborated with Hayes Carl, who I love, but we did some shows with him. So like, you know, my top songs, because I had to learn his material for a show. We learned some cover songs for the band. So I listened to those songs a bunch. I did a couple of recording projects. You know, there were some cover songs in that. So I was learning those for that too. So I think I need like two profiles for the streaming device, you know, like work. I need like work and personal, what I mean? You know, like you're on Uber or Lyft and you have your personal profile and your work profile. I think I need two profiles for the streaming.
Well, I was thinking about that.
It's skewed.
Creating a couple clips for one of our previous podcasts. And I was like, I thought about it, you know, when we first started recording, I'd listen to everything, right? And sometimes twice to see like how I heard, what I needed to fix. And I'll still do that to an extent, but now it's really like, okay, I'm really only listening when I'm trying to create the clips. Is it the same like on the musician side? Like you're just listening for, and you probably want to hear like, okay, how did this chord sound, et cetera. It's a little bit more intricate.
Of my own stuff, I mean, I still try to listen to music for pleasure because I think that's always been a wellspring of inspiration. And, you know, before I really got good at playing music, I was a music fan. I've always been a music fan, you know. That's something you try to keep alive. And I think that helps on a lot of levels, you know. But, I know, to your point, it's like the other reason for that is you just get better at it. You know, I can more quickly listen to something I've done and recognize, oh, that's cool, or this needs to be fixed, or there's something wrong there. And even like in the setup to it, you know, if you've done something 100 times, you know what not to do in advance of it. You know what I mean? So, like a lot of things, we've gotten a lot better at all that stuff, you know, so that helps.
Well, Ed, we don't want to keep you too long and we really appreciate it. I do have one final question before we sign off.
Sure.
Is there a song we didn't ask and I wanted to, that is your absolute favorite that either you wrote as a solo artist that you keep going back to, that's like your baby, that, you know, you just, you'll sing in your head as you're walking down the street, that you keep going back to?
No, definitely not. Absolutely not. But I think we've talked about this, not with you guys, but in the context of the band of Heathens, I think the song that kind of has stuck the most, that I've been mostly responsible for, is LA County Blues.
Okay.
I think there's something about that song that sort of kind of encapsulates a lot of the spirit of the band, you know. And honestly, in that regard, I will say, like, the new record, those songs immediately felt like songs that are going to live for a long time.
I think in so our too. Catalog,
you know, and for me personally, like, you know, songs like "Don't Let the Darkness" and "Stormy Weather," I think are kind of a little bit of a window into my approach to life and the way I see things. You know, I kind of try to maintain a positivity about stuff. It doesn't mean things aren't hard or they're not difficult, but I kind of tend to want to whistle while I work, as opposed to grinding it out. You know what I mean? I'm certainly not afraid of hard work, but I want to do that with a smile on my face and kind of be enjoying myself, you know?
Yeah. Smart. You get more out of the process that way.
I think so. Not everybody agrees with me, but that's to each their own. You know?
I like it.
Well, Ed, the year has been awesome. It's been fantastic to follow you guys and see the success and, you know, the gold record with Hurricane. And you know, I don't want to take full credit on getting you guys on Good Morning America, because I know we had nothing to do with it. You know, it's been some amazing accomplishments. And we hope that 2024 is even more fruitful for you guys. This is kind of like our Guy Fieri fan favorites round. Cool. So we had a lot of people come back to us that loved the original show, that wanted to hear how things are going. And, you know, follow Band of Heathens on Instagram, pick up Simpler Things, whether it's Spotify, there's limited edition vinyl that's going to be out tomorrow. So get those orders in. Fantastic Christmas gifts and Hanukkah gifts or whatever holidays you want to celebrate. Ed, thank you for being gracious and supporting us too. We really appreciate it and wish you guys nothing but the best.
Yeah, congrats on everything. Great year.
Well, thanks, you guys, and best to you guys in 2024, and best of luck to everything with the podcast and everything you're doing.
Thanks, Ed.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Cheers.